And Frank Reich is officially the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Frank Reich was introduced today. No weird callbacks with his original Panthers jersey in 1995 or any of that stuff. Giglio, I think you described it to me as big college coach energy, four pillars, that kind of stuff for success. At least that's better than a Jay-Z quote about 7 years to become an overnight sensation.
The truth of the matter is, with Frank Reich, we don't have to worry about his pillars. We don't have to worry about his principles. We know his track record in the NFL. Yeah. And at 61 years old, he has a proven track record. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can interpret the Colts in any way you want. Maybe that's a Rorschach test. But to me, he had a successful stint with the Colts. He did good work with a rotating, revolving door at quarterbacks. And I think he is going to be successful with the Carolina Panthers in spite of some kind of wonky moments today that I just kind of observed as like, really, dude? Like, come on. The pillars. What do we got? Nealon's Maxims here? Like, come on, man. We're not, you know, we don't need the whole Bobby Bowden sermon about religion and football and everything else. Just go out there and coach the team. Scheme it up. Make it work. Okay? This ain't your first rodeo. Like no. It was like a second marriage. It's almost like somebody getting remarried and inviting everybody back to the second wedding. Like, come on, man. We saw this once.
It's like, hold up.
We don't need all this.
Hold up. You have a gift registry for this one?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Come on.
No. We ain't doing the gift registry again.
You're 61,
sorry,
bro.
Come on now. You got everything you need. You don't need another fondue pot that you'll never use or an ice cream maker that you might use once. Like, let's not do that.
A for effort. Like, don't get me wrong. And when we ask, you know, these questions of like, well, what did they sell the owner on? Like, well, what was the presentation? Well, now we know.
And that's what I was going to get at. I think what today was with Frank Wright talking about his things is kind of a peek behind the scenes of what he used to get the job. Is it a much more polished, I've been around the NFL block a few times version of what Matt Rhule was trying to sell? I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't really know. So what I thought was kind of funny is that today is Matt Rhule's birthday.
Happy birthday.
47 years old.
Nice.
And they talked crap about him today on his birthday. How dare they?
It's unfortunate.
How dare they? Basically, the mistake of hiring a CEO-type coach, which we'll get to some of Tepper's comments a little bit later on. But back to Frank Reich, the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. What Giglio was referring to is, you know, the standard of winning of what he wants. Here he goes on to describe that.
The first is a relentless pursuit to get better every day. We got to have a relentless pursuit to get better every day. Nothing can ever get in the way of that. We're committed to that, to push each other in every way. We got to get better every day. No one has all the answers. We work together, we collaborate, and we push each other to be the best. The second one is that excellence comes through competition. We're going to compete in everything we do. In meetings, in the weight room, on the practice field. That's the way you get to be the best. You have to compete against one another and bring out the best. And then, of course, we'll enjoy competing against the opponents. That'll be a lot of fun and put that on full display, right? And then lastly, it's going to be about the team. The team, the team, the team. We will celebrate. We got great individual players. They'll hit many individual milestones and goals, and we'll celebrate all those. But the team always comes first. That's what we're going to be about.
So that's Frank Reich, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. As we've referenced a couple times, David Tepper going in the opposite direction of what he sought out in Matt Rhule, the hotshot college coach making his way to the NFL. You're going to go in the opposite direction. You're going to go in the direction of somebody that has been around the block a few times. And as you go through this process and you've had your various stops and you've been a head coach and you end up getting fired and you had this other opportunity to be a head coach, it's essentially version 2.0, which is what Frank Reich said during the press conference today and kind of reevaluating things after he got fired in Indy.
You know, in the NFL, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have successes and failures. We had 4 years of good success, and then you go through 1 year where you're struggling, where there's a struggle, and now you have a chance to reflect on that. And it's like, you know, it's like getting an app. I like to talk to the players like this. You know, in apps you get version one, then there's version two. I feel like this provides me an opportunity to debug some things, make things better, now come out with version 2.0 or version 3.0. It's better, it's cleaned up. The important thing is though that you're starting with a good product to start, which I know we are. So now we clean some things up, like I said, staff, vision of the offense, complementary defense, you know, and that high level of special teams play. all the areas that we'll, you know, that we're really going to focus on a team, and then how to stay true to the process, manage expectations in a way, keep our team focused on the right things, and then keep challenging and pushing. Ultimately, it's got to come from the players. The head coach and the coaches can only do so much. The leadership has to come from the locker room, right? I got a role that I got to play, and I'll do my best to play that role. But ultimately, that leadership's got to come from the players as well.
You know how I know Frank Reich is not extremely online? You know how he's got that big boomer energy based on the discussion about apps getting better? That's not true. That is absolutely not true. Just because the software is upgraded doesn't mean it's actually gotten better. I can point to several instances where they've, quote-unquote, upgraded things, and it's actually been worse, and I want the old version back, okay? That triggered my inner nerd. Sorry. Oh, yeah, you upgraded. No. You want to look at my Twitter app? It sucks now, okay? So it's not bigger and better. So no. We're not doing that. All right. Last thing that I thought was interesting, and this is probably more Charlotte-centric and Panthers-centric, and maybe one of the reasons why Frank Reich ended up getting this gig and why they've been leaning into his tie to the Panthers. Remember, he was their first quarterback. He played 3 games, and he was benched for Kerry Collins. They brought up keep pounding. You know, keep pounding is the mantra from Sam Mills. That's why they have the drum, and it was something that it was kind of under the radar, but there were a lot of people pointing to the fact that Matt Rhule wanted to create his own culture with the Panthers and scrap the stuff that people had come to know about the Carolina Panthers. So Frank Reich was asked about Sam Mills and what keep pounding means to him.
I mean, Sam, captain of our team, I mean, he was the lifeblood of our team. That first year, we knew that we were having a special experience, and Sam was at the center of that. You knew when you walked and Sam was in the room, you knew it. You felt his presence. You felt his leadership. He had very high standards. I think that's what stands out to me most about my memories of Sam. His standards were just so high personally. He drove himself, his work ethic, how he prepared, how he practiced, how he played. And then it just exemplified that keep pounding, which to me ultimately is about a sign of being committed to the process. That even though there's going to be some bumps along the road, if we keep pounding and we keep believing, we're going to get it right.
That's Frank Reich, again, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and I would describe that, Giglio, as some catnip for the city of Charlotte, catnip for longtime Panthers fans, and that's what you should do. But all the warm fuzzies aside, the idea of winning the press conference, which I'm sure a lot of people, I know you just made a grimace face, which I agree with you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No one's going to remember today. I remember Matt Rhule was introduced and everyone was so excited that he was coming here and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. Can you coach? Can you win? Can you scheme some guys open? Can you remember that DJ Moore's on your team? Can you remember that you picked up Deontay Foreman in free agency for a reason? I mean, listen, Steve Wilks picked the lowest hanging fruit in the history of the world. Now it's time to build on that and use the actual players on your team. Scott Fitterer, by the way, maybe start making your money, make some picks that, you know, Ike Ekwonu was a great start, but, you know, you got to get some players that are going to make a difference. You look at the Giants making the playoffs this year. I saw a great Dan Wetzel column today about how the Chiefs have basically hit on 21 of their last 22 draft picks. Mm-hmm. That's insane, but that's how you get yourself into the last four of the tournament. That's how you get yourself, as Mark Gottfried used to like to say, to the big on top of the big box.
These are hit or miss propositions, and maybe it's a byproduct of you and I having done this for too long of a time. Maybe it's the area that we're in where we've cycled through coaches, and everybody leaves a press conference feeling, oh man, I want to go out there and play. I'm ready to strap on a helmet.
He's perfectly
and go and play.
Competent. He has a great track record.
You know, you talk about draft picks. You talk about the players you already have. To me, the one thing that Frank Reich has to get right, any coach coming to the Carolina Panthers has to get right, is a quarterback. It's as simple as that. And Reich was asked about that, you know, in terms of what they need to get the QB situation right. Of all the people who would know better as it relates to how quickly your job is on the line if you keep missing on the quarterback, it's Frank Reich who had that issue in Indianapolis.
You got to have stability at quarterback. You want to have stability at quarterback. So The good thing that I've learned in my past experience here, in the past experience in a few years, is we've learned how to adapt to different styles of quarterbacks, but that's not the ideal situation, right? So we, Mr. Tepper, Scott, myself, have to commit to what's our blueprint, where, how are we going to maintain stability at quarterback, make a plan, and then execute that plan.
So what is the plan? We'll discuss that on the other side. They can re-sign Sam Darnold to a bridge contract. It's not like there's going to be a huge demand for Sam Darnold on the free agency market. They can try to pull some sort of deal. They can go to the highest bidder route, you know, because obviously Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be pulling in some cash. Derek Carr is going to be pulling in some cash. So what's that plan going to be? We'll explore that next. Frank Reich was introduced as the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. I'll admit, I did not listen to it live. I did not watch it live. I was deep in an audio editor at that point. And when I came up for a break, I'm like, oh, the interview's over, or the press conference is over. And I was looking for David Tepper quotes because I was curious. Hey, what did David Tepper have to say? Because I think most people understand, not that it was a contentious hiring process. Clearly, people wanted Steve Wilks to be the head coach. There is a pending lawsuit with Brian Flores that Steve Wilks is a part of against the NFL. And how the Panthers went about hiring their coach was going to be viewed in the context of what's going on with minority hiring practices in the NFL. So at first, I was like, all right, what did David Tepper say? So here's David Tepper introducing Frank Reich, me thinking, that was it.
He's a man of incredible integrity, an incredible family man, a person that we could tell has great process and a great way of doing things. You know, that basically has, you know, a guy that basically checks all the boxes and a guy that you really want to basically help build a culture and help lead a team, hopefully for the next few years and beyond.
So that's pretty much all David Tepper said. So I'm like, wow, he's really not going to answer any questions? Well, I was wrong. I was mistaken. Turns out that David Tepper gave that podium time to Frank Reich. And then there were side conversations, you know, the side podiums where media could talk to him and Carolina Panthers general manager Scott Fitterer. Here's Tepper when he was asked about how close Wilks was to getting the job.
The process we went through, like I said, had to do with how we're having coaches in here and looking at the future. And that was the process we went through. Everybody, you know, presented who they had and what they were thinking to help us win in the future. And we really made that decision based on that.
That's pretty much all David Tepper would say on the matter. Scott Fitterer was a little bit more loquacious. And this gets back to what Julio and I talked about in the previous segment. It seems as though Frank Reich laid out his plan during the press conference, the pillars, what he wants out of a quarterback, what he expects out of the players. And Fitterer said that he had really had a plan. He really explained the plan during the interview process.
He had a legitimate shot. Definitely, like, you have to give him respect for what he did for this team during the year. He did a heck of a job leading this. He's a great man. But when it came down to it, you know, I'm not going to compare Frank to Steve or anyone else. I mean, Frank during the interview process really separated himself at the end. First time he came in, he was dialed in, laid out his plan. Then when he came back in the second time, he took that plan, went deeper, went to a different level. That's what separated him.
So that's Scott Fitterer, which leads to the question, Joe.
He went deeper.
What is deeper? Well, the part that got me was he was really dialed in.
Is this a Shannon Tweed movie? What are we talking about?
It's the he was really dialed in. Are you telling me that you did interviews with coaches who weren't dialed in? They just rolled up, be like, put their feet on the desk and be like, all right, so what you guys got?
Again, the dog and pony show of today will be long forgotten by the time the season starts. You can look at the guy's resume. He has done a good job both as a coordinator and as a head coach. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's going to have to figure out the quarterback position. He's going to need Scott Fitterer's help with that. And then you go from there, because I do think they have a good base on defense. I do think they have some good skill players, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're that far off, as we saw this year with Jacksonville and the Giants making quick turnarounds by making smart hires. And also sounded like today, I don't know if Dennis has the clip, it sounds to me like he is going to call the plays. Just based on his answer, that was unofficially, yeah, I'm going to be the one who calls the plays.
I thought that was curious as well. Here's Frank Reich on the play calling.
As far as calling plays, I'm going to wait to see that we get the offensive staff together. Obviously, I've always enjoyed doing that, felt like I've had a good bit of success doing that, and enjoy doing that. It feels to me there's a little bit of a trend going away from that. I want to continue to re-examine that, and it just depends on how the staff comes together and the coordinator thing. I'm excited about the prospects of some of the guys that are out there that could be our offensive coordinator. So I'll wait to make the final decision on that.
You used to do a bit with Adam Gold on this program where you called it the fans later.
You don't need
the fans later. That is Frank Reich telling you he will be calling the plays this year for the Carolina Panthers. And you know what? That's fine.
That's fine.
It was one of my biggest gripes with Matt Rhule. I couldn't even remember his name. He hired a guy he had never met before to call the plays. It's the most important part of the job. You got to have the right guy calling the plays, and you got to have the right quarterback. Matt Rhule is 0-2 on that front. So Frank Reich has already given himself a chance by being a proven play caller in this league.
So who's that quarterback going to be? That's the question. And right now, the Panthers don't have much in the way of options. They could try and get somebody in the draft.
They have more options than they've had at any point since they summarily dismissed Cam Newton the first time.
Okay,
because they were desperate. Previous. The Bridgewater, I didn't disagree with it, but obviously David Tepper did. Then you make the move for Darnold in a trade that, you know, quite frankly, they gave up way too much. Last year, they didn't give up a whole lot for Mayfield, but it was damaged goods.
I
think in this year's...
That was a lottery ticket.
In this year's quarterback shuffle, you know, it's going to depend on where does Aaron Rodgers end up? Where does Tom Brady end up? You're going to see a lot of guys out there that maybe you look at and you go... You know, last year Kirk Cousins was someone who was potentially in play. Ryan Tannehill is probably someone who's going to be potentially in play. Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr. So you're looking at a higher grade of options. They're not complete and total difference makers. Don't get me wrong.
That's the thing, but that's where the distinction.
But
comes
I do think there could be a move to be made. I wouldn't move out of nine, but I would potentially consider trading a different asset and seeing if you could get up. If one of these teams falls in love with Will Levis, who I'm telling you right now, no thank you.
It's going to happen.
But also Alabama, Bryce Young, you know, I'm looking at him, I'm going, he's not going to be in the league in 5 years. And if he is, he'll have a max of 2 years left on his career. He's too small. Okay? And clip it, save it, use it when he makes the Hall of Fame. But he's too small. Okay? But Stroud, to me, and these teams can convince themselves of a lot of dumb things. But I will tell you, I always trust my eyes. And I don't know how you could possibly be a scout and go to the Georgia-Ohio State game and be like, this guy can't get it done against the best competition, because he can't.
A couple things about the quarterback and why I say options might be limited. Some of it is through their own decision-making. You can go back to the most talented draft class of all time that may or may not pan out. I mean, Trevor Lawrence looks like he might be the real deal. But they punted on that. They could have gotten Justin Fields.
The one they passed.
Okay. Yeah. And he clearly has a lot of potential and upside in Chicago. So they didn't do that. Teddy Bridgewater was supposed to be the bridge, but they got impatient, as you mentioned. But then they started to, you know, you got to remember why they ended up with Sam Darnold. Some of the quarterbacks they wanted to go after didn't want to go to the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Okay, so that's something.
And I'm not saying a bunch of people are going to now magically sign up to go play for them.
Who's to say that Frank Reich doesn't bring a little bit more respectability?
He does.
To the table, absolutely. Whereas nobody really wanted to be a part of Matt Rhule. Who's to say that's not what's going on here? But this gets back to what you had mentioned with Scott Fitterer. He has to start showing that he has the wherewithal to make the right decisions at the key position, quarterback. And maybe with Frank Reich's guidance, there's going to be a better idea of who you want, who you're going after. Frank Reich talked about it during the press conference today in terms of collaborating, in terms of working with Scott Fritter on building a roster. But what I thought was the most interesting was what he wants in a QB. I mean, what are we seeing in this upcoming Super Bowl, right? We're seeing Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, two incredibly mobile quarterbacks. We're just coming out of conference championship series where the two quarterbacks in Cincinnati and Kansas City were highly athletic, mobile, that can be mobile in the case of Joe Burrow. Josh Allen, you and I are on the same page with Josh Allen. He might be turnover prone, but you ride what he does, okay? Use him while you can. Cam Newton walked so Josh Allen could run, man. All right.
Hey, same with Jalen Hurts, you know.
Right.
Let him do his
let
thing.
Him cook.
Don't
cook.
Don't try to make him something he's not.
That doesn't seem to be the case with Frank Reich, though, who says, okay, yeah, you can be mobile, but I still have my type.
at some level, even those guys, and Mr. Tepper and Scott and I talked about this, you got to have a guy that can win from the pocket. We're not going to drop back. If we have one of those guys, we won't drop back 50 times, but you got to drop back 10 times. It's third and 10, and the game is on the line. You probably are playing from the pocket, so we can develop that as well. You want to be able to understand who you're drafting or understand who you're acquiring, continue to develop them as a player. We can all get better. I can be better as a coach. They can become better as a player, whether we're signing a guy or drafting a guy. But ultimately, that's the challenge, and that's the excitement of it.
That would be my only criticism, being somewhat wishy-washy of the direction of the NFL right now. You know, we were sitting here discussing the type David Tepper wants in a head coach, offensive-minded. Okay, cool. But you also have to recognize what types of offenses, what kind of quarterbacks are the ones that are successful right now. And not everybody is Kyle Shanahan, who can scheme up with dynamic playmakers. Because if you go that direction, you got a bunch of playmakers. Okay, cool. But I don't know if the Carolina Panthers have that right now. So you might as well go in the direction of what we've seen in Cincinnati, right? Or what we saw with Kansas City or Jalen Hurts, or what Miami did with Tua Tagovailoa, and then start to build around that. All those guys, you notice the consistency there is that they're athletic. They're mobile. And
with unbelievable play callers.
Yeah, that helps too. Is Frank Reich an unbelievable play caller? I guess we'll find out.